Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory.
The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here. Thank God, just one more time, He blessed us to see another day, and we're able to come to you again on Blog Talk Radio with Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we thank God that we're here and we're able to get into the law, the perfect law of liberty, as James called it, which is none other than the Word of God. Look in the mirror and see if we see ourselves in the Word. So it's good to be here. We thank God for all of you. We'd like to welcome you to Truth Ministry, all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Twitter followers, all of our Blog Talk friends, and our Facebook friends. Thank you for being here listening to Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So it's good to be here this day. So we're just thankful we're in another month. Hope everyone had a good holiday, because that's over. And so we're just moving on in the month of July. So we were able to finish up the book of Hebrews on the last time. So we try to be at least do three sessions out of 4 weeks. So we're able to do that. So thank God that we're here. Had some technical stuff I was dealing with on last week, and so we're back again on today. So we thank God for that. So again, I say welcome to Truth Ministry. I'd like want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we know this is St. Paul writing to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, letting them know their position as believers. So he wrote some really awesome things to the church, which incidentally he started down in Corinth, this church at Ephesus. He was there and started this particular church. So he's encouraging them and letting them know who they are in Christ. So that's a blessing for him being able to do that. And then also, this is one of his prison epistles, the book of Ephesians. So we so much that he went through. That's why he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, when he wrote to the church at Philippi, incidentally, which was another one of his prison epistles. But we're glad to be here. And so that's why when you get the revelation of who he is, that's why I use my theme, the Godhead. We don't believe in no Trinity. That's ridiculous. There's no such thing as three in one. He can never be confined. He can never be God, that is, can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, when he goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be, he's always God. So he's in everybody and the believers, that is, and he's still one God. He's everywhere and every place. He knows all things. He can leave you, come to you, ain't going nowhere. He is God. So he is Emmanuel, which the writer says, which being interpreted is God with us. So for that reason, we're glad to be here. And thank God that he brought us out of darkness, as Peter said, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So should you desire to call in, if you have a question or if you have comments or just want to contribute or share in line with what we are talking about on today, you are welcome to do that. And so the number to call in is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. You're welcome to call in should you have a question or comment, or you want to share in line with what we are talking about on today. So on today we finished up the series in the book of the Hebrews. We went through the whole 13 chapters of the Hebrew writer that was writing, and the subject was God, and it's in the first word in the first verse. And then so we walked on through that book. We talked about Melchizedek. We talked about, and the key word is better, what we talked about. So a better covenant upon better promises. So thank God for that. And like we say when we come in our intro, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So thank the Lord for grace and truth, because under the law, they died under two or three witnesses. They died. So two or three witnesses caught you were doing something. There was two or three at least, could be more, but at least two or three witnesses, you could die. So out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, that's why St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians the 13th chapter, when he was saying, this is the third time I'm coming unto you, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word may be established. That started off in the Old Testament under the law, which was the Old Covenant. So today we want to just start off here in the book of St. John, talking about our God, the one who came into the world that he made. The same one back there when Moses wrote, in the beginning, God. So this is what we want to talk about on today. So start off here, why St. John was written. You got a lot of events and miracles and things of that nature to get to before you really get the statement that he leaves near the end of those 21 chapters, why it was written. But today, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we want to, in the beginning was the Word. So it's like we just mentioned, in the beginning, God. Moses got the revelation. Nobody was back there in the beginning, but he got the revelation, in the beginning, God. In the 90th Psalm, he says, Lord, thou hast been our resting place throughout all generations. For the mountains above forth, ever thou hast formed the earth and the world. He went on to say, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So he had no beginning. He has no ending. He is the eternal God. And this is what he said in the book of Deuteronomy. The eternal God, God is our refuge. Underneath his ring, his wings is everlasting strength. So he's going to thrust the enemy through. He's not playing. He's got enemies. He's going to reign. The last enemy is death. So he's going to reign until he put all enemies under his feet. In 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, and St. Paul says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So all of this stuff that's going on is written. So evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In the latter days, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron, forbidden to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving. He goes on to say, every creature is good, and if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So in other words, it shouldn't be refused, because people are commanding people to abstain from meats. But God made them. So you got to know. So if pork is bad for somebody, then you don't eat it. And you know, you got high blood pressure, you got to do accordingly. But you can't. But our problem is people, somebody don't eat meat or whatever, that's their choice. But don't try to put that on someone else. That's where people go wrong at. When I say we, I'm talking about people. They want to, what they're doing, they want everybody else to adhere to what they're doing. So everyone is an individual when it comes to that. You can do things that you deem to be beneficial for your health, but you can't just make a law for someone else to adhere to that. You do it and go on with it. So anyway, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is why the first chapter of Hebrews said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. I'm quoting out of the first chapter of Hebrews. And so he goes on to say how he upholding by all things by the word of his power. So what he said, it was so. He quickeneth the dead, which means he makes alive. And he calleth those things that be not as though they were. The fourth chapter of Romans. So he says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Him who? God. Without him was not anything made that was made. So another scripture we read in the book of Hebrews said, every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. So he was the architect. So everything that people are doing, he knows all about it. And so people have wisdom like never before. I mean, it's amazing, even the technology, because the technological age that we're living in, because cars have computers. You, back in the day, like in the 70s, I don't even know when they started, technology that are in. Even I'm just using automobiles for an example. So back in the day, like if you got 12,000 miles on your vehicle in the 70s, you had to get a tune-up because it would quit on you. You had to change them points, they call it, and spark plugs. Now there's so much technology in these automobiles, you can go 100,000 miles with no tune-up, and it behooves you to get one around that time, because you'll get better gas mileage, your car runs smoother. I mean, it is amazing the technology that we have. And so these things, and this is none other than what the word says in the book of Daniel, says knowledge shall be increased. So it's just prophecy being fulfilled. And then just like not too long ago, I think this year, a month or two ago, not too long ago, it was this year, 2017, I think scientists discovered some more planets. Well, they ain't seen nothing yet because it's God. I mean, there's billions of galaxies and quasars and out there. There's planets. There, you know, some things you can't do. I mean, they're out of their mind talking about going to the sun because it makes sense. The saying that if it was any closer, we would burn up, or if it was any farther away, we would freeze. That sounds just like God. He put it out there. It's upheld by the word of his power. So he says, all things were made by him, not, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So that's amazing, because if you shine light, darkness got to go. So people like, and that's why he was saying this is a condemnation that's coming to the world, because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So that, you know, contributes darkness to trying to cover up or trying to hide something. So things that are done in the dark, they're going to come to the light. So if whatever makes light is manifest. So if it's the light shines on something, it's going to show it. The cover is coming off. It's going to be revealed, or it's going to be exposed. And that's what people don't, especially when you people that are doing wrong, they don't want to be exposed. But there's nothing hid. The Bible said, the Lord himself said, there's nothing hid that shall not be revealed. So things are going to come to light. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So this is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So that's, who is that? That's talking about John the baptizer or the baptist. He was not that light. There it is right there. But was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. And then so the subject changes here. That's not talking. So he's done talking about John. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's the Son of God. That's the Lord, the incarnate God, the Christ, the Christos, the anointed flesh of God, the Messiah, or the Son of God, the body of God. Like, that's why John wrote, and in one of his epistles, he said, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Then also he said, every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is Antichrist. So you have to realize who he is. He is the Jehovah is become our salvation. It's the same one. Like I said, one of the lessons, either the last one or the week before that, when Apostle Paul said, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That's in Philippians, the third chapter, I believe, the second chapter, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So talking about the Son of God, God is a spirit. A spirit is invisible. You can't see a spirit. So he made himself a body to get in to show himself. And the proof of it was what he was written, what he said, when he comes, what he's going to do. You know, the lame are going to walk. The deaf tongues are going to be loose. The deaf ears are going to be open. The blind eyes are going to be open. All of these things that were spoken about him, he did. And then he woke people up out of their, he raised the dead as he woke them up out of their sleep, because that's what he said. He's not dead. but sleep it. Women, people's daughters, people's sons, they're not dead, but sleep. And they laughed him to scorn, but he went and woke him up. He stopped funerals and said, "Damsel, I say unto thee, this one woman, young lady, arise." What did she do? She had to get up because the master commanded her to get up. So no one can stop him. He speaks it, and it is so. Whatever he says is going to come to pass. So John says he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I mean, everybody, people can read, and they call themselves critical thinkers and all that. But you're not going to get this unless you're born again, because this is the revelation knowledge of God. And the natural man don't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. So you got to be born again to get this. So he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He's talking about Israel, talking about the Israelites, the Hebrews, whatever we want to name them, the children of Israel. He came to them, and they didn't receive him, but the writer goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so the Word was made flesh. So this is what we getting to. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So begot means to become the father of. So he goes on here, John bare witness of him and cried. So that was a proclamation, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So he says, of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So this is like what I read when I come on with the broadcast. But he goes on here, so you got to understand what he's saying. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So what he's saying is, we haven't seen him in his glory. And that's why John says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth him not, because it knew him not. And he goes on to say, this is in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Remember, the subject is the Father in that 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and I'm quoting it. So he says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He goes on to say, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So in other words, you got to be out of your mind. You don't want to make the catching away, the rapture of the church, because the devil is on the rampage. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's all kinds of crazy stuff the devil putting in people's minds. They're doing, and even the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So that's what the writer is saying. 2 Thessalonians 2:2, only he who now letteth will let, till he be taken out of the way. He's talking about the church. The Holy Ghost is hindering that devil from really working like he want to work. He's working, but he can't work like he want to work. And then he says, even him whose working is after the working of Satan, all deceivableness and lying wonders of them that receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. He goes on to say, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. So you don't want to be left here. Because we think it's evil going on now, but when the church is gone, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is going to be gone out of the earth, and it's going to be pickings for him like never before. So that's why the writer, when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, that's a tongue twister, the Thessalonians at Thessalonica, he said, God hath not called us unto wrath, but unto holiness, to obtain salvation, by our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's amazing. So the things that are going on, so if you know what the Word of God says, then you don't have to be surprised. You shouldn't be amazed of what's going on. Just like what happened to the Supreme Court decision last year, I believe it was, about the same-sex marriage. I think it was 5-4. Remember, now that's pretty tight. 5-4. So that's almost, it can't be right down the middle because they got an uneven number of Supreme Justices. But that shows you where we are. And so it's no surprise because he said it as it was in the days of Lot. So that's what they were doing. That's why he burned Sodom and Gomorrah down because of the wickedness that they were doing. You can read it in the 18th chapter of in the 19th chapter of Genesis. Abraham interceded, and if he could have found 10 people, he wouldn't destroy it for 10's sake. He couldn't even find 10 people. But Peter even writes about Lot, said that he vexed his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing the conversation of the wicked. So now what he's saying is the lifestyle of the wicked. He knew what was going on down in Sodom and Gomorrah. So God, that's no surprise. They hadn't passed that. These people ain't going to stop doing what they're doing. I never thought I would see the day when you would see such, see a man on TV talking about his husband, or see a woman on TV talking about her wife, or seeing a president saying that he believed, in other words, he believed like the Word of God says, that marriage is for a man and a woman, which it is. Then they flipped because they wanted those votes, and that is President Obama, his second election, he flipped and said, and he even had his wife saying that, you can love who you want to love. That is ridiculous. It doesn't matter who said it. God is no respecter of persons. He's not playing with nobody. So all of this foolishness that's going on in the world today, and all because the love of money. They want benefits. The love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible said, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So that's why. Because they want benefits. They're going to still keep doing what they were doing. People say, oh, I've been with so-and-so for 40 years and all that. So if they hadn't came up with that decision that they did, they still was going to be doing what they were doing. Now they can get to get insurance money and they get to get benefits out of the deal. So they're happy about that. So they got their meat. And so they're going to receive a reward of unrighteousness. They're going to receive eternal damnation, not just them, but people who are not born again. I mean, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Like I said in the 95th Psalm, now is the accepted time. So he went on to say, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So that's him knocking at the door of your heart. That's his word telling you that you need to come on in. Just like in the days of Noah, they didn't get in that boat, that ark. They thought it was funny. But when God closes the door, it's shut. The door was shut, closed. And, I mean, a lot of us done been there. We done went try to get to a place, a bank or whatever it was, and get there, and the door is locked. They're not very few times. Will they let you in? I mean, I have done that to the bank before, I think on a Saturday or whatever. I mean, sometimes them people be trying to get out of there because they're getting ready to get off of work, lock the door a few minutes early. you know, you got them. Sometimes they'll open the door, but when God, the point being is when God shut a door, it's closed. The end. You can't get in. So it goes on here. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ." This is John the Baptist or the baptizer talking. They asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" He said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" He answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" This is John, they asking John the Baptist, these Jews and Levites, about what sayest thou of thyself? He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." So this is, you can find that prophecy in the 40th chapter the book of Isaiah. It says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's talking about every valley is going to be exalted. Every mountain and hill is going to be brought low. The rough places, the valleys are going to be exalted. The rough places are going to be made plain. And then he goes on to say, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And he goes on to say, the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. It's in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. This is where this is coming from. And when they which were sent were of the Pharisees. So, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not." He was talking about the Son of God. You don't know who is in the midst of you. And that's how it is now. He's in the world. It's like, that's why he said he was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. Even now, we are the sons of God. He's in us. We, like Paul said, "I pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." He's made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's in 2 Corinthians, the 4th and the 5th chapter. That's why he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." So this is what we have to realize. We are his witnesses. God has always had witnesses. I think Acts 14 and 17 says he never left himself without witness, not a witness, but witness. So the book of Isaiah, you can read, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servants who am I have chosen, that you may believe that I'm he. Besides me, there is no Savior." So, you know, is there a God before me? I know not of none. There's none beside me. There's none before me, none after me. So none with him. I'm God. There's none else. There's none like me. Isaiah 46 and 9, declaring the end from the beginning in ancient times, saying, "My counsel shall stand. My will do all my pleasure." Calling a ravenous bird from the east, "I have spoken it. I've spoken it. I have purposed it. I will also do it." Isaiah 46, 9, 10, and 11. So it's the same God that came among us, that made himself of no repetition, but took upon him, the writer Paul says to the church at Philippi, the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. That's why he said God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. So, yes, you know, just like the Lord, it is him. He's in another form. So he's so high and lifted up, even the Lord himself, in its spirit form, that he's got to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. So he didn't stop being God because he became a man. So this is why John said, it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. So he says these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Who is that? John the Baptist. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. In other words, look at him. Look at the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not. This is John the Baptist talking. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Now remember now in previous verses said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So he goes on here, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, that he sent me. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. So in other words, it's him that's doing the work. That word Spirit is in a capital S here in these verses. So here in the 32nd verse and the 33rd verse. So he says, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, that means coming down and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. In other words, he baptized himself. You got to understand what he's talking about. And I saw him bear record that this is what? The Son of God. So in Luke 1 and 35, that's what Mary was saying. So how is this going to happen? How is this going to be? How is she going to be with child? You know, it was written, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, Isaiah 7:14. So this is what, and then so Mary was that salutation of with Elizabeth. So, you know, how is it going to be seeing I know not a man? So the writer Luke said, the power of the Holy is going to come upon you, going to overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's the self-same, what he's saying here. I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God, the same as in Luke 1 and 35. And again, the next day, John, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. So in other words, he already done said it. Behold again, look at the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he goes on saying it again. Behold the Lamb of God. And two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? They asked a question. He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and he abode with them that day. They abode with him and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So let me inject something right there. So that's why Peter wrote, he says, you are lively stones that you should offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted unto God by Jesus Christ. And then remember when he told the disciples, talking about the people, if they should hold their peace, the stone should immediately cry out. He wasn't talking about no rocks, because I was a stone. I wonder who place did I take. The stone, is talking about the condition of your heart. That's what he's going to do in Ezekiel 36 and 26 to Israel. He's going to take all out of them the stony heart, give them a heart of flesh. Then also in a couple of the Gospels, he said that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He's not talking about no stones on the or no rocks on the street. He's talking about the heart, the condition of the heart. So a lot of times we miss it. So that's what he called him. Not only that, he's the rock. That's why in a 61st Psalm, I believe it is, the writer says, when my heart is overwhelmed, he goes on to say, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Talking about the Lord. He's the rock of ages. He's the rock of Gibraltar. He is the stone that's coming out of the mountain. He is the stone that you want to fall on, because if he fall on you, he's going to grind you to powder. So this, there's, you know, nothing like getting an understanding. So should you desire to call in, you're welcome to call in. And our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So he said unto them, come and see. And so anyway, we go on here. So he finds his own brother. So they, you know, they found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, you know, he said, you're going to be Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So going on here, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found the Messiah. So here it is. We have to be pay very close attention to repetition. So they're saying the same thing. We have found him who Moses in the law, the prophets in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So this is just being said right here in verse 41 and in verse 45. So we done found him, man. So they had to know what the law said, what the word of God said. Nathanael said unto him, can anything come out of Nazareth? A question. Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, of whom, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? This is what Nathanael said to Jesus. Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? A question. Thou shalt see greater things than these. He said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You imagine that? Told him that? And that's exactly what happened. So we go on here. The third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. So that's Mary. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So it's good to notice here, take note of that they didn't say a wedding right here, but they said a marriage. Because there's other places, and particularly in the book of Luke, he gives a parable about a wedding, about a man not having on a wedding garment. So this is, here they're not talking about a wedding. They're talking about a marriage. And so we have to pay very close attention to repetition. And so it was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And then the next verse, both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. So that's about 9 gallons. And so Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. So John goes on here. That is John the Apostle, St. John, who's writing, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So you always went up Jerusalem. You always go up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the chargers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out, all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the chargers, money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou then, thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and would thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Now remember, now turning that water into wine, that was the beginning of miracles. So he goes on here, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So what is that to say? God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere in every place. And he's omnipotent, which means he has all power. So that's proven who he was. So we go on here. Our time is getting away here. So in him was life. Remember now. So he was the one that healed the sick, and he's still healing. He raised the dead. So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And not only that, we are in his stead. So, but he is still working. It hasn't changed. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So we can say what he says. That's why he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And he goes on to say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what a God that we are talking about. So he came to die. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to fulfill. That's why he said, thus it is written, behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. So he was talking to John. So John was the one who baptized him. John was the forerunner. It was so dark. Like I said, 400 years of silence. God didn't say nothing between the law and between grace. So there was no spoken word, but it was already written about what was going to happen. You imagine, that's what the theologians just came up with the conclusion that they call it 400 years of silence. He didn't have to say nothing because his word was going to come to pass at the appointed time. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. So exactly what that means, that nighttime was where when no one else was around, nobody else was looking, whatever that means. He came by night. He came to Jesus. So he goes on here, he came by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles. There it is again, because he was observing. He saw, because he was a ruler of the Pharisees. He saw what was done. And so no man can do these miracles except we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So in other words, it's the power of God that's working. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he's letting him know, like the Roman writer, St. Paul wrote to the Romans 14 and 17, I believe. He was saying, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the only way you're going to have that. So this is a spiritual kingdom. This is not eating filet mignon and prime rib and baby backs and duck backs and all of that. No, this is the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto them, how can a man be born when he is old? And you know what? He had a legitimate point. And he asked a question, another question. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a legitimate question. That's not a stupid question. Jesus answered, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, not the water, but water. Water can be anywhere. We baptize people in the prisons. They had a pool in there. People have been baptized in lakes. People have been baptized in swimming pools. People have been baptized in bathtubs. It matters not long as it's water, because what makes the virtue in the water is the name of Jesus. When the name of Jesus is called upon them, that is what's important about water. So it doesn't matter where it is, just take them down in water. That's why the eunuch said to Philip when he came and sat with him on that chariot in the 8th chapter of Acts, you know, when he said, who speakest thou, the prophet of himself or of some other man? And he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He got done preaching. Philip the evangelist got done preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? It went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptize him. Philip baptized the eunuch. So that was a legitimate question. So he goes on here, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he goes on, he gives the answer. That which is born of flesh is flesh. So we were born of our mother. We were born a natural birth. We were flesh. They had to cut that umbilical cord that connected us from our mother, that was taking care of us while we were in the womb. That is flesh. Sure enough, flesh. And sure enough, had to be the seed planted. Sure enough, had to be male and female to make that baby, as we would say. Like they said, no conception, no baby. So it was a baby. And so that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Notice now, a capital S and a little s. That which is born of the Spirit, which is talking about God, is spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So in other words, when we're born again, our spirit is born again. That's why he said, ye have he quickened who were dead and trespasses and sin, which means to quicken means to make alive. So he quickened us by his Spirit. He woke us up. He made us alive because we were dead spiritually. So he goes on here, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. He gives an analogy. The wind bloweth where it listeneth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. He goes on here, if I have told you earthly things, ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. When he made that statement, he was standing on earth, standing there talking to Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's talking about Calvary. He's going to be made a curse. That they nailed him to that cross and dropped it down in the ground, lifted him up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So this is what I said earlier. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. So nobody want to be uncovered, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So after these things came Jesus unto his disciples in the land of Judea, and there he baptized with them and baptized. So we're going to stop right there because our time is gone. So we just thank God just another day that we're able to come. And we want you to know, we ask you, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So very important. So thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, receive up into glory. So, your soul is so very important. Nobody in their right mind want to be lost. So that's why I ask the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? A lot of people are talking about church, are talking about the Lord, are talking about the Word, but have you received the Holy Ghost just like they did on the day of Pentecost since you believe? The day of Pentecost has come. They were with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It fills all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You need the Holy Ghost too. That's what we're all about. Oh.